Hello and welcome to our program, and this is the reading of the ARP magazine brought to you by OWL Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Kevin Altamirano, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from this magazine here on OWL Radio. We're going to start with the upfront section of ARP magazine, and this is Foreign Aid. In the movies, U.S. embassies and consulates are safe havens for action heroes in peril, but that's not why they exist. Missing passports. This is the most common reason Americans abroad see consular help, says Angela Kerwin, the U.S. State Department's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Overseas Citizen Services. Even if you lose all your identification, the State Department can help establish who you are, find you a place to stay, or get you on an airplane. All right. Second reason for going to the consulates in another country, medical emergency. The State Department can help if you call by providing information about available medical services. Each embassy or consulate also maintains a website that has useful information on locally available resources. Visit travel.state.gov. And then last, incidents of crime. If you are accused of a crime, the State Department can't bail you out or provide you with legal representation, but a Foreign Service officer can offer assistance, including helping you find an English-speaking lawyer and notifying contacts back home. If you're the victim of a crime, it's also a good idea to check with the consulate itself. Another part of the upfront section of this magazine is called Test Drive Your Next Vacation. These last two articles are the go section in the upfront part of ARP magazine. Go and do something. So this article is, as I said, Test Drive Your Next Vacation. Virtual reality tools let you explore a destination before you book. Virtual reality has been promoted for some time as a way to tour the country from your couch, but it isn't a true substitute for travel. We want to experience the sights for real. So increasingly, the technology is being used as a pre-vacation tool. Having surveyed over 24,000 travelers in 32 countries and territories, Booking.com reports that 43% are expected to turn to this technology for inspiration on possible in real life vacation options this year. Many museums, amusement parks, and vacation tour operators have gotten wise to the technology as a marketing opportunity. And while VR headsets, virtual reality headsets, which cost around $400, will give you the most immersive experience, you can access some of these experiences just by using a normal computer or mobile device. Eric Peterson, who is the CEO of the Savvy Campers and a travel tour guide, has used virtual reality to scout the Great Wall of China. I was able to walk along its length, taking in the intricate details of the brick and mortar work up close. I was able to understand the true scale of the wall, something that photographs and videos could never fully capture. Our next article, from Upfront, is entitled Keep Your Cool. We asked Chidimna Nwakanma, professor of clinical emergency medicine at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia, for tips on regulating your temperature besides blasting the AC. Number one, fan placement. In shaded rooms, put a fan near an open window and aim it into the room to circulate fresh air. In sunny rooms, turn the fan around or reverse the blade rotation so it blows hot air out. Number two, evaporative cooling. Sit by a fan and spritz water from a spray bottle in the air between you and the fan. This is the fastest way to cool yourself down and is used on patients with heat stroke. Showers, or taking showers, with peppermints. Take a cool shower before bed using peppermint gel or soap. Each has cooling properties. Number four, natural fibers. Wear cotton, which is more breathable than synthetics. Also, for cooler sleep, skip the higher thread count sheets. Aim for a thread count between 200 and 400, according to the Sleep Foundation. And diet. Foods with high water content, such as leafy greens, melons, oranges, pineapples, are cooling. Spicy foods can also actually help because they contain capsaicin, which jumpstarts your natural cooling. Sweat. Our next upfront article is called How to Pick a Melon. Melons don't get sweeter post-harvest, says Amy Goldman, author of The Melon, and an heirloom fruit and vegetable expert. Growers decide when melons are ready for sale, so what they pick is what you get, but you can still choose wisely. Here are Goldman's tips for buying the tastiest melons. All right, if you're going to buy a honeydew, do this. Pick up several and go for the one that's weightiest for its size, generally rounded and free of defects. The skin tone should be yellowish, not greenish. All right. Cantaloupe. Look for abundant, fine netting over yellowish, not greenish skin. The aroma should be pleasant and sweet. Next, press the blossom end, which is opposite the stem. If it yields slightly, that's good. Too soft and the fruit is likely overripe. Too firm and it may be underripe. Choose a rounded melon that's weighty for its size with no apparent defects. And finally, watermelon. Forget the sniff or thump tests. Look for a weighty for its size fruit with well-rounded ends. The ground spot where the melon rested as it grew should be yellow, not white. Avoid a fruit with sun scald or pudding or one with surface pitting. Next is one of our feature articles, and this is called Stress in the 60 Plus Body. The older we are, the more damage chronic stress can cause to our health. But older adults can develop a superpower that keeps its harmful effects at bay. This is written by Oliver Brody. A 6-year-old feels stress on its first day of kindergarten. A 12-year-old feels stress at a soccer playoff game. And it continues on into young adulthood, middle age, and life's further reaches. The triggers of stress may change over the years, but the phenomenon of a stressful moment, that sudden eruption of strong physiological and emotional reactions we have all felt in ourselves, mostly remains the same. The difference is how it affects us. With age, our bodies react more intensely to stress. Its effects on our health can become more toxic, and once triggered, our bodies take longer to return to baseline. As older adults, we may have fewer acute stressors like screaming kids or screaming bosses, but we are more apt to be faced with chronic challenges like illness, financial insecurity, or caregiving situations that can repeatedly trigger stressful reactions over the span of years, even decades. But there's good news too. For while age may erode our natural defenses against stress, it also endows us with powerful new weapons with which to fight back. Why we stress less. Polls consistently show that as an older adult, you're simply better at handling stressful situations than your younger cohorts. Case in point, a little radar blip known as COVID-19. 94% of the Americans killed by the disease were age 50 and older. Adults age 65 and older make up only 17% of the U.S. population, but account for 76% of the COVID-19 deaths. Yet, a 2021 University of Michigan poll conducted in the throes of the pandemic found that 65% of adults ages 50 to 80 rated their mental health as excellent or very good. And a 2020 ARP poll found that while 38% of those in their 40s reported being highly stressed, older respondents showed more resiliency. 33% of those in their 50s, 18% of people in their 60s, and just 13% of adults 70 years and older reported high stress levels. What's going on here? Simply put, the older we are, the more adept we are at navigating away from potentially stressful situations, says Susan Charles, who is the professor of psychological science at the University of California, Irvine. When we bring older and younger people into the lab, says Susan Charles, and put them in an uncomfortable situation, older people are much more likely to say it's not as stressful. Young people are much more reactive. Studies have shown that compared with younger adults, older adults are much more likely to credit positive emotional stimuli and discredit negative emotional stimuli. One study has shown that older adults are 50% more likely to use proactive coping techniques learned during long lives to prevent stressful situations from developing in the first place, and are better able to reach a compromise with life's demands. These skills, Charles says, stem from three assets that older people have in greater abundance than younger people: life experience, self-knowledge, and time perspective. Older people are more likely to choose to disengage from minor problems, understanding that it's really not worth it to get upset about the small stuff. If an older adult is talking politics with someone they don't necessarily agree with, for example, they're much better than young people at changing the topic. In the same vein, older adults are much more likely to focus their energies on important relationships with close friends and family, and less on peripheral acquaintances. They experience fewer stressful conflicts. Also, when stress won't relent. So yes, we grown-ups have developed techniques for coping with acutely stressful moments, but chronic stress remains an aggressive health foe for us. The ongoing drumbeat of health concerns, the pressures of caring for ailing relatives, and the increased anxiety around living on a fixed income are frequent challenges for older adults. These high-level challenges have a way of pushing your stress button day after day, week after week, year after year. Say you are struggling financially. Every time a bill arrives in the mail or you are at the grocery store, instant money fears can trigger the flow of stress chemicals. This can impact the body, especially the older body, in less detectable but far more consequential ways. Stress response number one, the hormone flood. While the hypothalamus in the brain senses stress, it signals the pituitary and adrenal glands to pump cortisol, which is the stress hormone, into the bloodstream to help the body respond to threatening situations. Cortisol does a number of things, including increasing inflammatory compounds and clotting factors in the bloodstream in preparation for possible injury. Among older adults, the cortisol surge is not only stronger, but takes longer to return to normal. Studies show that cortisol affects older adults significantly more than younger ones, causing more inflammation. When the stress becomes chronic, the brain, dense with cortisol receptors, is repeatedly washed with cortisol surges, which become toxic, increasing your risk for developing dementia. Cortisol also can cause dysregulation of your immune system. In one study, a month of chronic stress exposure was associated with a more than 150% greater risk of catching a cold. And in a study of financially strained older adults, each day since their last Social Security payment, which is a significant resource of income for nearly two-thirds of older adults, was associated with a significant increase in inflammation, a known predictor of disability and mortality. How to fight the cortisol flood? Use your body. Exercise can bring down cortisol levels in the elderly and in people with major depressive disorder. That wonderful feeling that follows exertion is the most healing thing you can do for stress. All right, stress response number two. So that hormone flood was stress response number one. This is number two, and this is called the fight or flight instinct. The other way our brains respond to stress is by signaling the body to release adrenaline. Heart rate increases and blood flow shifts, sending more oxygen flowing to the heart and skeletal muscles. Blood pressure spikes to distribute energy wherever it might be needed. Other blood vessels constrict, furthering boosting blood pressure while keeping blood and oxygen flowing to vital organs. This becomes increasingly hazardous as we get older, and health issues like high blood pressure become more common. Often with age, we become less physically resilient, says Charles. That's why the older you are, the longer it takes for your body's core temperature to return to normal. The same thing happens when stress hits. Once the heart starts pumping, it takes longer for an older person's body to relax and recover. One study tracked the blood pressure of teachers over the course of a stressful school day. The blood pressure of both young and older teachers was elevated, but by the end of the day, the blood pressure of the younger teachers had returned to normal, while that of the older teachers had not. As we age, our blood vessels become stiffer, while atherosclerosis often sets in, impeding the flow. That explains why the stress response among older people is more likely to cause a stroke or heart attack. The greater the abnormalities in the vasculature, the more dangerous a sudden increase in blood pressure may be. So, how to grind down fight or flight? Use your mind. Older adults have advantages in calming the sympathetic nervous system because acquired wisdom can help us notice stressful patterns and practice acceptance. Reframing a perceived threat brings it down to size. In one study, older adults who participated in an 8-week mindfulness training reduced their risk of depression by more than 50%. And finally, seize the reins. it isn't always the stressor itself that creates stress, but the feeling that we can't do anything about it. This may be why physical activity has been repeatedly shown to be among the most effective ways of dealing with stress. It's active, it's proactive, and it gives you a sense of mastery and control. It's also highly effective in offsetting the health risks that stress causes. For example, one study found that financially stressed older adults had, respectively, 15 and 20% higher levels of different inflammatory markers. But in a roundup of 11 separate studies involving more than 1,200 people, researchers concluded that exercise could reduce many of these same inflammation markers. Physical activity makes your muscles stronger and also lowers inflammation and improves your blood pressure regulation, says Linda P. Freed, MD, Dean of the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University in New York. Exercise can offset the stress of social isolation, the health impact of which is comparable to smoking or obesity. So too can volunteer work. Older adults who have a clear purpose in life diminish their risk of loneliness by 35% and slash the risk for stroke and depression. David Farrandon, who's 76 years old, has been taking care of his wife Dawn, who was 74, she has stage 3 Alzheimer's. He's been doing this for 3 years. This kind of care entails constant vigilance, and as the disease advances, the stress load has only increased. It's a battlefield sometimes, says Farrandon, who describes day-to-day life as highly erratic. To cope with the stress, he has been volunteering at the local food bank. While he's not doing that, he's playing horseshoes or riding his electric bike. Over time, he's learned to take things as they come. Some days, he knows, will be difficult, but instead of trying to fix it, which I can't do, I just say, okay, honey, we're going to have a bad day, and we laugh about it. I don't think older adults realize the strengths they have, says Charles, and that in some ways they're doing better than younger people. Many of us, of course, do realize this, for we have lived longer than most, yet the time for living is still now. Now, now, now. 6 ideas called release valves about how to tamp down the stress effect. Stress is defined as when you perceive that a task has overwhelmed your ability to complete the task. But we can prevent that perception from triggering a full-blown stress response. Here's some best tips. Number 1, ask for help. If you are experiencing stress about your finances, for example, ask a professional or someone you trust to sit down with you and work out a budget. Number 2, take stress breaks. To charge your phone, you have to plug it in. To charge your brain, you have to unplug it. Look for opportunities to stop multitasking. When you sit down to eat breakfast, just concentrate on enjoying breakfast. Don't plan the day. Number 3, use the quieting reflex. Smile inwardly to signal to your body that all is well. Then take one deep breath. Visualize hot air coming up through the bottom of your feet, through your body, and filling your lungs. Then exhale as you follow this sequence in reverse. Number 4, walk. Movement is an easy stress releaser. You don't have to go outside. You don't have to get on a treadmill. Simply standing up and walking around your living room for a few minutes can help break you out of any stress cycle you might be locked into. Number 5, volunteer. Taking time out to help others is a uniquely powerful stress buster because it works for us on a number of different levels. Volunteer work combines the satisfaction we feel when we help someone with the social interaction that helps us feel less alone. And finally, number 6, make your bed. This was the title of a best-selling book by Admiral William McRaven. And it is a great stress management advice. The first thing you should do each day is make your bed. It gives you a sense of control right from the start. This next article is called My Happy Place. It's from the ARP travel section. Some vacations are for adventure, others are for rest. And then there's the kind of trip that has a deeper meaning, a journey to a precious, even sacred space, a place full of memories, a promise, a place that automatically puts your mind and heart at ease. These 8 Americans were kind enough to share their most treasured places with us. Maybe their stories will inspire you to visit one of these spots, or maybe you'll get the urge to return to your own happy place once you've been away for too long. I'll just read a couple of them. Sunset Cliffs Natural Park in San Diego. So few things in life are permanent. The house I grew up in got torn down. People come and go, but Sunset Cliffs is a forever place. I was recruited to college in San Diego on a football scholarship. Coming from the hot and dry agricultural town of Bakersfield, Sunset Cliffs felt tropical and exotic. Ocean waves crashing on the rocks, a sea cave with a hole open to it. My father died when I was 20, and my mother died when I was 21, and going to Sunset Cliffs brought me solace. It gave me hope that I could be happy again. I had a 68 Lincoln Continental, and I would drive out to the cliffs and just sit and reflect. I wrote my first songs at Sunset Cliffs. The title of my first album is Water. After my brother died from COVID in 2020, I went back. At Sunset Cliffs, you can cast your cares upon the water. Just being there makes me feel lighter. You can also, while in San Diego, you can also visit the Old Point Loma Lighthouse. You can also enjoy La Jolla Cove and even visit the USS Midway. Another area, and I'll just read the areas that are very special to these people. One is the Old Mill, T.R. Pugh Memorial Park, and that's located in North Little Rock, Arkansas. That was from Mary Steenburgen, the actress. That's one of her favorite places. A favorite place for the writer David Sedaris is the Palmer House Hotel in Chicago. And for Gail King, who's the co-host of CBS Mornings, she loves Marina Del Rey Harbor in L.A. Ellen Ochoa, who's a former astronaut, loves the Stanford Dish in Stanford, California, while Min Jin Lee, who's the best-selling author of Pachinko, loves the Politics and Prose Bookstore, which is in Washington, D.C., and she suggests also to visit Powell's bookstore in Portland, Oregon, The Strand in New York City, and The Last Bookstore, which is in L.A. And then A.J. Jacobs, who's the best-selling author of The Know It All and The Year of Living Biblically books, he likes Smuggler's Cove Adventure Golf in Sarasota, Florida. And finally, Tia Carrere, who's an actress, she loves the Kauai Range in Oahu, Hawaii. All right, everybody, you've been listening to the reading of the ARP magazine here on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You can also listen at www.owlradio.org. Thanks a lot for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. And this is Kevin Altamirano saying goodbye from Owl Radio.